Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. Anytime you're in Huntsville, we hope you'll come be part of our worship. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. We hope you'll enjoy this lesson brought to us by Glenn Colley.
This morning's scripture will be coming from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Since you have purified your souls and obeyed the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. You may be seated.
Would you open God's book, please, to John chapter 3? And if you want an outline, at least to the beginning of my sermon, well, you may have it by leaving that open on your lap. John, the third chapter. We're going to start in the first verse. This is a happy day. I wasn't here, but we had a great ladies' day, and we had considerably more in attendance than what was expected. And so there had to be a quick late run for extra food, which I consider to be a good problem. Big, big crowd, and the ladies are still abuzz about it. It was a great day. God is blessing us with the beginnings of autumn. I took my 2-mile walk this morning, and it was just a beautiful day, and God has blessed us with a great time and with great people with whom to worship. All right. Don't want to work on this, and I'll just stand back here. Can you remember when you were baptized? Well, that's silly. Of course you can remember. I'm going to talk about baptism. The imagery given in the scriptures relative to baptism is very broad and beautiful. How would you describe it? What is becoming a Christian like? Well, 1 Peter 3 and 21, it's very much like Noah and the flood, and 8 souls were saved by water, the like figure whereunto baptism saves you. How does that work out? Well, the water is what buoyed up that ark, and the death, the destruction was beneath the ark. And so it was in that sense that Noah and his family were saved by water. And Peter says, baptism is like that for you. The baptism now saves us. Or Galatians 3 and 27, that when we're baptized, we put on Christ. You know, he says we're baptized into Christ and we put on Christ, like you would put on a coat or a garment, and now I wear him. He is mine. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12 says that baptism is like an operation. It's like a surgical procedure in which God cuts us away from our sins. But my favorite one is in John chapter 3, where our lesson comes today. Because, ladies and gentlemen, at baptism, you and I are born again. Born again. Read with me in John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one could do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless, now ladies and gentlemen, you ought to underline that word unless in your Bible, because this is an ultimatum. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless, it's an ultimatum, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, get the last couple of verses and understand what's happening. Nicodemus is a Jew, a ruler of the Jews. In his mind, he is going to be always okay with God. He's in the kingdom of God because he's got the blood of Abraham pumping through his veins. I'm a Jew. I'm a descendant of Abraham. I'm right with God. Jesus says, it's not that first birth. It's not that fleshly birth that puts you in the kingdom of God. You've got to be born again. It's got to be again. Now, the flesh is one thing, but the Spirit is another thing, and this is a spiritual birth. Now, the last part of the reading about the wind, that's a commonly misunderstood part. I want you to pay attention to what the wind is compared. To what is the wind compared? Now, it's not the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that's like the wind. It's the person who is being born again. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. What's the point? Well, the point is that the Spirit birth, the new birth, being born again, is different from the first one. With the first one, he was born a Jew. And you could look around and you see people who are Jews. You could see physical characteristics and say, look, there's a Jew. But it's not that way about the Spirit birth, the spiritual birth. You line people up and you say, which one of these are Christians? And you can't tell by the shape of his ears or by the color of his skin or by how big his feet are. You can't tell by external physical things whether a man has been born into Christ, that he's born again, now a Christian. You can't tell by looking. This is not like the old birth. This is a new birth. Now, what Jesus says here, that unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You got to be born again. The second birth, that's what's important here. Now, let me do a preliminary thing, and then we're going to talk about the water and the Spirit, which is very critical. You appreciate the fact, I know, that when you study with people about the gospel and how to become Christians, most mainline denominations, and even those who are not mainline, have a very difficult time with the idea that baptism is necessary for salvation. As a matter of fact, most of their preachers, I think, find the idea rather anathema. It is just a loathsome thing to think that we would say that baptism puts you into Christ. It's when you're baptized that your sins are forgiven, and that before baptism, you're still lost. And so while they practice a baptism, it's not for the remission of sins. It's not a baptism into Christ because they don't believe that. So when you study with people, you need to know that. And the problem, though, of course, that they have is not with me or with you. The problem they have is with the Scripture, because the Scripture so abundantly teaches this. It seems to me that if I was the devil, this is what I would want. It wouldn't make any difference to me. I wouldn't care a snap if people were very, very religious, or even if they called themselves Christians, so long as they didn't do that which put them into Christ. Right? Then I got them. I'm good. But I came today to say that baptism is what puts us into Christ. It's when we become saved. But for our discussion this morning, it's also the point at which a person, are you ready for this, is born again. Now, preliminary concept is that this birth is unique, this second birth, because it springs from death. It comes from death. Let's see if we can get that slide up, Spencer. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. That's not like your first birth. Your first birth, your parents got together and there was an embryo created, that's you, and God infused that embryo with an eternal soul, and then you're alive. That's who you are. But the second birth comes because of death. You were dead and now you are alive. It's very much like what Jesus was talking about in John 12 in verse 24. He says it's like a seed of wheat. Any kind of seed, though, if you just drop it on the ground, it's not going to do anything. In order to produce, it has to be put in the soil, and it's got to die. It's got to decompose there in the ground, and then it brings forth a lot of wheat. What's that to do with us? Well, you remember Ephesians chapter 2, the first couple of verses? He references those people and says, you were dead in trespasses and sin. Death means separation. Your physical death will one day occur when your physical body is no longer a suitable house for your soul. Whether by sickness or old age or an accident, your soul will take its leave, and that's what death is. It's separation. James 2:26, the body without the spirit is dead. Well, spiritually, that's true too. When we step into sin, when we live in sin, Isaiah 59, the first couple of verses, says that it's sin that separates us from our God. Sin makes us spiritually dead. It's the reason why we need salvation. We need to be born again. It's because sin separates us from our God. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 6, she which lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. What's that? I'm physically alive, but spiritually I'm dead. This new birth comes because of sin, and it's because sin separates us from God and we're spiritually dead. Let's do one more thing on this. In Colossians 1:18, the Bible describes your Savior Jesus as being the preeminent one. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He is preeminent. And in this passage, Paul refers to him as the firstborn of the dead. Now, when I think about that, I think, well, wait a minute now. But this is different because what we're talking about is spiritual death. That reference to Jesus is about physical death. He died on the cross, but he never died spiritually. Yeah, that's right. But in Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 3, the Apostle Paul uses his physical death to compare it to our spiritual death. Know ye not that so many of us as have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised, here's the comparison, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. He says, if we've been planted together, buried together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Let me tell you something. If you've never been resurrected from the waters of baptism, then you've never been born again. You've never been baptized into his death. It's the death. I put to death my sin. I put to death the old man of sin, and I go down into the waters of baptism. And when I come back up again, I'm resurrected to what this passage calls, are you ready for this? A new life. You might call it being born again. All right, now, in our text this morning in verse 5, Jesus our Lord references being born again with these two essentials. We're born of water and the Spirit. Now, for those teachers, religious teachers, who abhor the idea that baptism is necessary for salvation, they really resist it, push back. This is a problem to say there's water involved in being born again. What are you going to do with that? And the most common explanation to try to make it not be baptism is to say it's physical birth. That's what he's doing. He's just contrasting that you were born physically, and that's the water part. You know, we say that a mother's water broke. And then the Spirit, well, that's becoming a Christian, and that's about the Holy Spirit. But the water is just your physical, it's not baptism, it's just your physical birth. Well, of course, there's a couple of problems with that. That's a stretch, and it's just not true. In the first place, we use this terminology about, we say the water broke, but it's not really water, it's amniotic fluid. And the word for water here in John 3 is, well, it means water. It's H2O. It's just water. And I would also add that at the bottom of the chapter, verse 23, the Bible says that John was baptizing near Salem because there was much amniotic fluid there, right? There's much water there. It's the same word. It's just water is what it is. There was much water there, and so he was baptizing people there. And Jesus says in the early part of the chapter that being born again is to be born of water and the Spirit. But that's not all. This water is baptism. Our new birth is at baptism. Water is when we go down into the waters of baptism. So you have Acts chapter 8, for example, in verse 35. And Philip goes to the Ethiopian, and the Bible says he preached Christ to him. And the Ethiopian then, riding along in that chariot, in a few minutes says, wait a minute, here's some water. Why can't I be baptized? If you believe, you can. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They stopped the chariot. They both went down into the water, and he baptized him. There's the water. Water is baptism. But it isn't just that. I want you to think about with me the various scriptures that describe baptism and how that when you come up out of that water, I'm telling you that things are new. Things are different. This is the only way to grasp that this is a new birth. New birth is the apt description of this. For example, when I was baptized, that's when I began my life as a saved person. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, he talks about Noah and the flood, and he says, now 8 souls were saved by water. Then 21 says, the like figure or the antitype, baptism now saves us. That's not a bad. That's not an outward bad. That's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. It's the answer of a good conscience toward God. But the point is that he declares there that our baptism is when we became saved. It's when I crossed the line from being lost to saved. I'm telling you, that's the new birth. But it's not just that. Take another one. Here's Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Now, we don't use the word regeneration anymore. How many times the last month have you found an occasion to bring that up in conversation? We don't use it. But regeneration is in this passage. And he says that we weren't saved by our own righteousness, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Now look at this. Through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, here's regeneration. Look at the next slide. What does it mean? Generate means to begat. It means to produce offspring. That's what to generate means. Well, so if you put the word re beside it, it becomes regenerate, and it means being born again. That's what it means. We were born again. But here in Titus chapter 3 verse 5, he calls it, are you ready for this? The washing of regeneration. Why? Well, because water is involved. It's because when you're born again, it is born of water and the Spirit. Now, look at this next slide. When I am baptized, I'm telling you that this is a brand new start. It is when I am made alive. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, that we're buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses, that's how come we need to be born again, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he's made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. You know, when you're baptized, it's when your sins are forgiven. Acts 2 and 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you for the forgiveness of your sins. He says that when you were baptized, that's when, are you ready for this? It's when you were made alive. You might call it a new birth. You might call it when I was first saved. I started my life as a saved person. I had regeneration, born again. You might say that it was when I first became alive in him. Or you might say, and here's the fourth one, you might say that when I was baptized, it's when everything became new. Now, I would have you appreciate that this correlates with the whole concept of being born anew, born again. So 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, if any man be in Christ, hold on, we've already read Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, that we're baptized into Christ and we're baptized into his death. And this says, if any man then be in Christ, ready? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become N-E-W. New. With what does that correlate? And the answer is, you're born again. When did it happen? It happened when I was baptized. what kinds of things occurred then? I was saved. I started my life as a saved person. I was before that damned and lost. But now my sins are forgiven and I'm a saved person. I'm regenerated, which just means born again. I have all things now new because I am made alive now. I'm telling you that the word water is about in being born again of water in the Spirit. Water is baptism, and it elevates the importance of baptism to the degree that anybody who stands up and says that baptism has nothing to do with our salvation ought to drop his head in shame. This is to elevate it. How big was it when you were born in reference to your existence right now? In life, you have life and you're alive. And in reference to your whole being, how critical was it that you were born? Well, you say, well, none of this would happen. I wouldn't exist at all were I not born. Right, that's right. So how do you suppose Jesus then would elevate the necessity of baptism to this high place? How would you say it? And you'd say, this is like that. This is at that level of significance. Now you are born again. All right, but now I'm not done. Jesus says that we're born of water and of the Spirit. So how are we born of the Spirit? Now, I think everybody mostly agrees that that's the Holy Spirit. The question is, how does he bring this about? So what does the Holy Spirit do to bring me into a born again condition? Look at John 6 and verse 63. It is the Spirit, Jesus says, who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. In John 16, when this is the passage where Jesus told his disciples, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to you and he'll guide you into all the truth. Jesus also said this, that when he comes, the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I want to ask you a question. You know something about these things. And the reason you know is because of the Holy Spirit. And how did you get it? And the answer is, you got it from the study of the Word of God. The holy men of God spake as they were borne along by the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, God the Holy Spirit. And so you have the gospel, and you studied the gospel, and you learned how to become a Christian, and it was those words that came from the Holy Spirit that taught you how to be born again. Now, I want you to consider the word begotten. Begotten is kind of like regeneration, and we don't use it anymore. And I don't remember the last time I heard someone use the word begotten unless it was quoting John 3:16. But in the Scripture, it's a rather profound word, and it connects directly to being born again. The word begotten means, like regenerate or generation, begotten means to produce offspring, or to sire, or to father, or it just means to produce offspring, all right? So walk with me. Now, we're still under the discussion of how the Holy Spirit participates in you being born again. Here's 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That is, you accept Christ and you follow his teachings, you obey him. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. You're a child of God. You're begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome or grievous. All right. Now keep going. Because when you studied the Word of God, when you studied your Bible, and you learned how to become a Christian, and you obeyed that gospel, you were then begotten of God. Did the Holy Spirit participate? Oh yes, you couldn't have been saved without him. How did he participate? He participated by inspiring men to write those scriptures. You have the Word of God because of the Holy Spirit, and that's how you learned how to do what God wanted you to do to be born again. Now look at this next one. Here's 1 Peter 1:22. Now there's a couple of slides for this verse, but I want you to take this slowly and grasp it, because this really encapsulates the point. Since you have purified your souls, that's forgiveness. Praise God that we have the ability through Him to have our soul clean. You've purified your soul. How did that come about? Through obeying the truth, through the Spirit. In sincere love of the brethren, see that you love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again. Now here's our concept. Now what I want to do is I want you to see how that we are born again and how the Holy Spirit participates. We purified our souls by obeying the truth through the Spirit, and we've been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. That is, it's not corruptible seed. Regular old seed that you plant, you know what? If you leave it very long, it'll just rot and go away. It'll decompose. But the seed, which is the Word of God that's planted in the hearts of people, it won't decompose. It's incorruptible. It lives and abides forever. Because he says, all flesh is as grass, and the glory of the man is the flower of grass. Grass withers, its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Now get a grip of this. Is that he says we were born again by the word of God. We studied the gospel, we learned what to do to become Christians, and we obeyed that. And that's the point then at which we were baptized and we were born again. Here's 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 15. Take another one. Paul says, now you might have 10,000 instructors, but you don't have many fathers. And what he's pointing to is that I came to you, I studied with you, and I brought you to Jesus Christ by His gospel. Now get this. For in Jesus Christ, I have begotten you through the gospel. What does begotten mean? It means born. It means to produce offspring. We are born again by the gospel. How did that come about? Holy Spirit gave us the gospel. He gave it to inspired men who wrote it down, and you've got a Bible, and now we, for 2,000 years, we've been studying it with people, and people have been becoming Christians, born again. And there you are. Now, let's do one more thing on this. Here's Ephesians chapter 5. And you remember that husbands love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, or for her, that it might sanctify and cleanse her. Now the her here is the church, members of the church, people who are Christians. And how did he sanctify and cleanse her? With the washing of water by the word. How did we learn about becoming Christians and being washed in baptism? How did we learn that? We learned it by the word. The Holy Spirit gave us the word. That's how we figured this out. You wouldn't know otherwise. Right? Now, when did that washing occur? Acts 26, or 22, verse 16. And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We, Jesus says, are born again, born of water and the Spirit. And this is how that works. Now, let's do some summarizing. When you were baptized is when you were born again. Flip to the next slide, would you? Now, I want you to look at this list. This is just the next slide. This is the summarizing of everything that we've said. One more, Spencer. There you go. When you're baptized, you reach back 2,000 years and you touch the cross. You appropriate the blood of Jesus Christ to your own soul when you're baptized. That's what the Bible says in Romans 6. We're baptized into His death. When you're baptized, you find everything is new. I love that. The one who changed water into wine will change you with His teaching and truth. And we ingest what He taught us, and we live in imitation of Him. Everything is new. Isn't that an amazing verse? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. When I was preaching in Jasper, Alabama several years ago, we had a man in the church who was, well, some people said he was the richest man in town. I don't know if that's true or not, but he was a very wealthy man. But he was old and he was a miser. Everybody knew that I won't tell you all the stories, but I want to tell you one. I went to his house one day to visit him, And this old shack of a place is where he lived. And I went up to the back door to visit him. And there was a grave marker, a granite grave marker there by the steps, which to me seemed very, very strange. And so when he came to the door, we did our small talk, and I said, you've got a grave marker right here beside the stoop. What's up with that? What's that about? And he said, well, when my wife died, I went to buy her stone, and I asked the man if he could give me a good deal if I bought two. And so I just had him put one of them right here for me later. And he put it by the step. That's the kind of man he was. He was always thinking about a penny here or there. And anyway, he had an old car, an Oldsmobile. Junky old ratty car. He would haul vegetables in the back seat, old Delta 88. And it was just a wreck of a car. And he came to me one day and he said, Glenn, my car. He said, it's got to be fixed and it just needs so much repair, so much repair. Everything needs fixing. I said, I tell you what I think you should do. I want you to go to the shop and go to the dealership there in the shop and unscrew the radiator cap and replace all the other parts and then screw the cap back on. Because that was the only way to, you know what? He needed a new car. He needed to replace that car. I don't know if he ever did or not, but he's long gone now. But you know what Jesus says here? His book says, it says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You want to know another way you can describe that? Ready? Praise God. It's born again. Born of water and the Spirit. Now, one more thing I want you to think about. If I'm not born again, I'm not part of the family of God. You think about an unfortunate boy who's in school. He's a young teenager and he meets a friend. And this friend has a good and stable family. And maybe the unfortunate boy starts going over to that boy's house frequently. And maybe most afternoons he goes and does his homework there. And now most evenings he eats his supper there. And he doesn't know his dad, and his mom works all the time, and so they don't have a home life. And he'd much rather be in the home of this friend. And so it's not uncommon for him to spend the night there. And then at Christmas time, very often he'll spend his Christmas with them, and there's gifts, and it just feels so good to be part of a family like this. And that's really a wonderful thing. But I want you to understand and think of something that is very obvious, terribly obvious, which is that he's close to that family, and if you didn't know better, you might think he was one of the sons. He just looks like one of them, and he's always there, but he isn't, you know. The truth is that he can't legally wear their name. He's not in the family. The truth is that when a will is ultimately read, chances are that the benefactors will be those who are part of that family, but he's not part of that family because he's not in the family. So it is with the Lord's church. And sometimes a man may think, I look very much like a member of that church, the Church of the New Testament. I mean, I come to church and I worship right beside the Christians, and I'm kind of Christian-like, even though I've never obeyed the gospel. But what I want you to get is until you're born again, you're not in the family of God. That's the point, you know. It's the point. And to become born again, you must be born of water and the Spirit. And if you've been studying the gospel and you know the word that's given to us by that Holy Spirit, then you need to be baptized. You need to be baptized to wash away the sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the entry door through which one must go in order to have forgiveness and be in Christ. You've been very kind to listen. Maybe you've been studying about this and you're ready to obey the gospel. Now would be such a wonderful time to do that. We'd be so happy to help you to do this, and we'd baptize you just like they did in the New Testament times, and for the reason that they were baptized.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Glenn Colley. If you have comments or questions, Glenn can be reached by email at colley@westhuntsville.org.